PC show, where we have big talk and little machines. And this episode, we have a full cast of hosts. Guys, how are you? We have Rich and Door to Door.
Did you say fool or full?
Oh, fool. We have a full cast. That was my accent. We got a wicked awesome cast out here, guys.
So I'm coming to you live from the Hughes Compound Southern Command.
Very cool, yeah. I will say I had a busy week only because school is coming to an end and the kids are at the point where they can barely contain themselves. So their excitement is turning into my stress through natural formation. There's not much I can do about it.
I think I can relate to that. And I'm actually having a hard time with how much money I'll be spending for the summertime trying to get my kids enrolled into something.
Uh-oh. Yeah, my in Florida, they start early, so they end early. So this is the first week of summer vacay for my daughter. And she, without me, you know, like, beating it into her, because if she had time off from school, she'd just lay in bed and text or you know, Instagram or whatever it may be, Snapchat, something like that. So her and her girlfriend are volunteering at a camp for kindergarten and fifth graders that's at a school around the corner from us.
That's friggin' awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, so she's 5 days this week, and then she's going to do 2 days the next week. So I'm like, well, what are you going to be doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Because you're not going to be laying in bed texting.
Gotcha. Yeah. My wife enrolled my kids into something, but she also enrolled me into something, and that something is a $5,000 plus Disney excursion that we're probably going to spend 3 years paying off.
5K? You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Optimistic on that.
Well, no. It's already done.
No.
We already spent that much.
No. Oh, you mean you plan on spending another 5K when you're there?
We haven't even left yet because we are staying in the park. We got food plans. We have the...
Oh, really?
I can't remember what they're called. Oh, yeah, she goes all out, man.
Dude, can I sneak in and eat with
meals?
Because it's worth a 2.5 hour drive for free food.
Sure, because I'm pretty sure about 90%+ of all the food there, I'm not going to be able to eat. So, yeah, sure.
I don't remember. Have we slept together before? Because I could sleep on the floor in your room, you know?
Well, I'm pretty sure the wife wouldn't like it if you slept in the bed. I will say that.
That'd be a little weird.
I mean, maybe not. You know, she's always surprising me, but, you know, I'm just going to take that hunch.
Wow, I can meet Mrs. Door and the kids?
I will say I can't remember now if it was 3 years ago or 5 years ago when I went, and I actually one day convinced her to let me split off and go meet somebody I never met in person, and she let me know after that, of course, that she was not very happy with that. So I'm pretty sure this vacation is family focused, you know, go team kind of mentality. So if you show up, I'm sure her first question would be, who the hell are you? And then her second question would be, why should I care? And I'd say the most uneasing feeling I saw her have at Disney was when she literally saw one of her coworkers there. To which she immediately turned to me and said, we're going to a different park.
Oh, crap.
That's because we have the park hopper. We can go to any of the parks. I just beg her, please, let's not go to Animal Kingdom. It is the most atrocious waste of time compared to the other parks.
So this actually happened to me, and somebody has a similar story. You know, like, their story's better because it was France. It's like they're in France, and then they see somebody they know from New York City. So I was working on Long Island at a place, and I happened to be at the mall in D.C. walking around this weekend, and somebody that worked in the building next to me says, hey, Rich. I'm like, what? You know, at first you're like, they couldn't mean me. It's like, Rich.
Right.
And I'm like, no, they mean me. I'm like, dude, how are you?
I believe the only words that went out of my wife's mouth was, hey, you, I don't want to talk about work. And then she just introduced us, and here's my husband
and
my two
leaving.
Kids. And yeah,
you will see our backsides in a moment.
Yeah, and I remember now, we didn't even know it existed. This is how long it was, but it was May the 4th.
May the 4th
when we went.
You.
and it was Star Wars. I think this was like maybe the first or second year they bought Star Wars the rights, and the place was going Star Wars crazy.
Dude, I've been to Disney once in my life, and that was 3 years ago. My daughter used to go like 2-3 times a year, because when she's in school or, you know, middle school, they're like having these field trips. They'd have like one or two field trips with the class each year, and then like her summer camp would have a field trip, and then she'd go with a bunch of girlfriends. I mean, she's like Disneyed out, which might be good.
Yeah.
Me, I went, oh gosh, was it like June 2 years ago for the first time? And, you know, this is Florida in June. Oh, wait. When are you going to Disney, Dor?
In like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Nah, never mind. Forget it.
Okay. I'll say the last thing, and then we're going to get to the real content. I literally despise Disney as a company. I think they're immoral. I think they're unethical.
You mean because they fired all the IT workers and replaced them with H-1B visa guys?
No, I think they were evil 60 years ago or whatever. I just think this is a continuation of their evil ways. But as a park, as an entertainment park, nobody comes close. Oh, I've been to...
See, I like Universal.
At least 20 parks. Universal A costs too much damn money, period. It's not even close to the size of Disney, right. So it's unbelievably more crowded.
Yep.
And their fast pass system, at least I've heard from multiple people, is the worst thing in existence.
Hmm.
They just don't do it. They just don't do it right. I can tell you... When we went to Lone Sharking lease property timeshare thing, they gave us what was equated to 6 lightning fast passes, not just fast passes, which makes you basically skip the entire line right now you're going on the ride.
Oh.
So we were able to get on the Toy Story Mania ride, which the previous day, the kids just said they loved it. They wanted to get on it as many times as possible. We only got on the ride twice. Because of the line, and we had to go get something to eat and stuff like that. And then it was closed for like an hour a day. So we only got on it twice. And that was the whole focus of the whole damn day. So the following day, they literally got on it 6 times a piece because I gave up my tickets. She gave up hers.
Nice.
And the people working the booth could not believe. They said, I don't know how your kids are doing this, but kids, you better thank your parents. Yeah. Because it just doesn't happen. And Disney is, everybody who works there, unbelievably professional. It's unbelievably clean. They have beer everywhere, which there's nothing that quenches your thirst scientifically more than beer.
You're a beer scientist.
I was in my former life. Now that I have diabetes, I can't be. And we stay on the park, which means we never have to drive any place. We never have to park any place. We never have to pay for parking. We just walk out the door, hop on a tram or a bus, and then boom, we're at the park.
And because I never went to Disney, I heard about Space Mountain. The two big things for me were riding the monorail and Space Mountain.
Yeah, Space Mountain's awesome. If you have a chance to go to Disney, everybody, you have to go once. It is amazing. Even in the places like Epcot Center, which are not as good, are still amazing. Just fantastic place to go. Just don't buy their movies, is what I say.
Although Beauty and the Beast was pretty good, the live action.
I have to take your word on it.
I'll have to take your word on it also, Brian. And your man card was sent into who?
I just want to let you know I didn't see the movie alone. I went with the family.
Well, the most important question is, did you cry?
I did not cry.
Okay, then you get a temporary man card.
I was very reserved.
I'll first ask you guys, do you have any mini PC updates since the last time we met? For you, Brian, it's been a couple weeks. Have you done anything, bought anything, seen anything that really got you giddy?
I actually bought a couple of Raspberry Pi Zeros and
W's.
Zero W's.
What'd you spend? Where'd you get them?
Micro Center. I went down to Micro Center in Cambridge.
Oh man, yeah. You're
walked
the one.
Walked into the store and paid $10.
Ooh, that's good. The W's still the same spec as the original Pi Zero, right? As far as RAM and CPU clock speed, that kind of thing.
What I understand, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the only additions I want to say was they added one of the cable ribbon connectors for something.
Yeah, there's a camera
and then
connector.
The Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
And that was added on the, like, I still have them here, like in the 1.2 version or something.
Well, yeah, now they have two of those ribbon connectors. Before, they only had one.
So what's the connectors for? One's for a camera.
I have no idea. If I'm going to guess, I'm going to say a monitor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's LCD display, I believe. Because here's my... Whoop. That's a Orange Pi camera.
That's tiny.
And that's my Orange Pi IoT that I still don't have running yet. And it's got two connectors like this. So one is for the camera, and one is probably for an LCD something. And
how much was the camera?
It was like a buck or two. You know, it was one of those impulse buys. Not that everything about this is an impulse buy, but... And this is the TTL to serial USB connector, so I can plug into the header of the serial port header of the Orange Pi IoT.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out why the Flocket is booting.
Yeah, yeah, you got to do that for video, too. Sorry to cut you off, Tor.
You're fine. I'll say I was wrong. It only has one ribbon connector. The only update to it was... They list three updates, but it's really two. The 802.11bgn wireless, Bluetooth 4.1, and Bluetooth low energy are the three things.
Oh, okay.
And I got a similar type of thing here, Rich. It's a USB to, I believe, micro SD card, which is going to enable me to flash firmware mm-hmm. onto devices.
Yep.
So I got similar but different. So do you have any plans, ideas for the Raspberry Pi Zeros, Brian, or just experimentation and playing?
Well, I got the Pi Drive with the case, and I noticed that the Pi Drive, as they were selling them a few weeks ago, didn't come with the Pis. Well, actually, let me back that up a little bit. I got the Pi Drive for the Raspberry Pi Zero, and it didn't come with the Zero W. So I wanted to replace the Pi Drive Zero with a Zero W for wireless connectivity. And when I installed the DiePi, I realized that they disabled the wireless functionality.
Ah.
And there was a workaround, but I couldn't get it to work. So I think I might do away with the DiePi and maybe just install Raspbian.
Yeah, I'll say the best thing is the Pi Drive does have some documentation along with it on the interwebs. Mm-hmm. And all of the documentation goes with Raspbian, so... Yeah. You should be able to get things working good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good unit. I was kind of impressed when it came in. You know what? I mentioned this before. I was really presentation is really cool when you buy stuff. There was plenty of documentation with the Pi Drive, and it was really simple to set up, really simple to put together. But I know I mentioned this before on a previous show. I purchased the NVIDIA Shield, and man, that thing was really presented extremely well. The boxing, the quality of the boxing, it was just top notch, and I was really impressed.
Not the Shield tablet, but the Shield TV.
The Shield TV, yes.
Yeah, and does that come with a dedicated remote?
It did. It came with a remote control and the
gamepad,
yeah, the controller.
Yeah, and what are you talking about price wise on that?
$199. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still a little bit pricey. Everyone for the last like 3 months have been saying they're going to announce the Shield TV 2, the Shield TV 2, and they did Revit, if I'm not mistaken, which enabled that price to go down because it was originally, I think, $250. But the Rev wasn't really a Rev. It's the same processor, mm-hmm. I believe, in the same RAM. They upped the storage and did like one or two other little things to it. This is what I don't understand. The NVIDIA Shield gaming tablet and the NVIDIA Shield TV box, everybody I hear about swoons over how fantastic they are, yet people still aren't buying them. I don't know. I'm sure if you were to, let's say, take out a magic marker and draw an Apple symbol on it, people would pay $800 for it. Yeah. So I don't understand. NVIDIA should have the brand recognition. I don't know what they're missing.
I think it's a great box for streaming and even playing games. I've purchased a couple of games. Not that I'm a huge gamer. You know, sit in the bed and watch and play some games or watch a couple of movies with the wife. I think it's fantastic. I love it.
So did any of the games, when you load them and see the graphics, like literally make you say, damn?
I was kind of impressed. Yeah. I didn't get that feeling, but I was impressed.
Yeah, I'll say the graphics I've seen on the Shield mirror 3-4 year old console quality, which is really impressive for something that small,
right.
I'll say.
And it just tucks right behind the TV. I have the TV mounted on the wall in the bedroom, and the shield just floats. I didn't have to mount it anywhere with screws or brackets. I just rest it right behind the TV. It's fine. Doesn't get heated up or anything.
Very cool, very cool. Rich, you have the two Orange Pi devices. The one still isn't booting.
Right.
Did you make any progress with the other one?
You know, I haven't really jumped on it because as much as, you know, geekdom exists and you love stuff, this is the Orange Pi or Orange Pi 0+2H5, and I've got Armbian running on it, and I haven't really mucked with it in the last week. So and it boots off. It's got its own, I think it's 8 gig eMMC. So no SD card, it boots off its own eMMC. Pretty happy with the darn thing. Just in the Lion-O stuff, I'm still having heating issues with my Odroid XU4. So I'm running Plex on it. And, nice. And Brian was holding up, I sent him an Orange Pi Zero in a case. Actually, I sent you two Orange Pi Zeros.
Yeah.
So one with the whatever board, like the extra, it's got extra USB ports and a couple other things. And the other with the NAS board.
Right.
Yeah, the Zero Orange Pi, something is up with the Ethernet port. And I think I had the same thing happen on an Orange Pi that you sent me, Dora. The Ethernet port burnt out.
Well, that one we had working, and then after a length of time, it just decided to just stop working.
That's exactly what happened. This didn't work from day one, and I thought it was something I was doing wrong. I couldn't connect to it remotely. I was trying to do a headless, because you know, you have to put the pins in to get the video. And I ended up using a USB Ethernet, and it worked like a charm.
Oh, very cool. Really quick question, Rich. The one Odroid you have that's working is the Orange Pi. Is the Orange Pi 0+H5? H5 is a slightly better processor. Right. How much was that again? Was that like $10?
I'm gonna have to look it up. I think it was in the $20 area. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's a little pricey for what it is, but really what tipped me into liking it enough to buy it. Two things. It is Wi-Fi. It doesn't have an Ethernet port on it like the other Orange Pi Zeros. It does have an HDMI on it, so we're wireless HDMI and 8 gig of eMMC. So
that's good.
That's a fairly reasonable saleable point on it.
Right. I'll say on all my super mini, because we have mini computers like the Raspberry Pi and the Odroid C2 and stuff, but this I classify as a super mini or an ultra mini because it is like literally a third the size. Technically, I believe it's less square inch is than the Raspberry Pi Zero. But on all of the ones I have, because I've had two or three of them, really small ones, on every one, they just seem to get too hot.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much, if you're not... Although, my Orange Pi Zero running Kodi here, which is right here, I'm not going to be picking it up and moving because it's plugged in and running right now. The CPU seems to be a little hot, and I may put a heat sink on it, and I might... I know I printed out cases, so... I gave away a couple of Pi Zeros, and I printed people cases, and when I printed them cases, I printed one or two of them for me, and I may take it and knock a hole in it for where the CPU is, you know, with a Dremel or something, and put a heatsink on it.
Right. Okay, I'm going to make this our noob topic of the week kind of thing. Let's pretend there is no controversy on whether or not these heatsinks work. Let's just take for granted it has the placebo effect and it just happens to cool down the processor. I believe there is some merit to having one. I don't believe it's a great merit. But here's the real question I have for you guys. I'm right now getting into the mini computing market. When I look at Amazon, because that's where everyone goes, when I look at these kind of websites and eBay, I find a lot of kits to buy these. And a lot of them have the power source. A lot of them have what I would classify as 30-cent cases and really cheap SD cards. But a lot of them also have heat sinks on them. Do you guys, would you instinctively just buy heat sinks on all your mini computers and slap them on? Or do you wait until there's a reason? Or do you just not?
I'll go first. Mixed mode answer on that. Here's the thing. Anything Orange Pi runs hot, and that's just how it is.
Then real quick, do you think it's specifically hardware or software interacting with hardware or just not optimized software? Because I would have to believe it can't be the hardware.
See,
I don't
it's
know.
Funny. I was thinking about it earlier today. And as much as Dor and I talk, we didn't talk about this. I was thinking independently about it. I was wondering if they're running these processors at too high clock speeds. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Well, I don't want to say they're disposable. But with the prices of these mini-minis, they're almost disposable, and I wouldn't shock me if the software developers say, I don't care if this shortens the life of it. Push that puppy up.
So on the Orange Pi devices that I have here, the IoT is $9.90. The Orange Pi 0 Plus 2 H5 Quad-Core Wi-Fi Bluetooth mini PC is $19.99. So it's $20. Mm-hmm. That's getting a little pricey. You know, and because I do the show and I like stuff, I got it. And I figured it's something to review.
Right.
I don't know that I would put it on the recommend list because at $20, it's so close to $30, which is the cost of a Pi 3 that you will have zero issues with.
Well, I'll say the likelihood of needing a heat sink on a Raspberry Pi has to be extremely less unless you really do intend on overclocking that thing and literally pounding it into the ground.
Okay, so I got the answer for you here. You guys saw Slow Hand Luke, right?
Slow Hand Luke? Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Is that a cereal?
No.
Return of the Jedi? Because that's Luke, right? Yeah, Return of the Jedi. I've seen that.
All right, so
because he lost his hand.
So Slow Hand Luke, the board would lock him into the hot box, and I'm assuming it's like Louisiana or Georgia or something like that. And they
Mississippi, I think.
They'd lock him in this black metal box all day long because he was a bad guy, or you know, he ticked off the ward. So effectively, my PiAware is running in one of those things because I have a steel or aluminum lawn shed, and that thing, it just cooks up. I mean, this is, it's like a frickin' furnace in there. And because of the way the wiring and everything is for where the antenna is, it's actually about 5 feet high. So if I could get it lower in there, it'd be cooler, but I can't. So I have a heat sink and I have a 40-millimeter fan on it.
Gotcha.
And I haven't checked in on the temperature on it in a couple of days, but you know, it did drop the temperature a little bit. It unfortunately, here a couple of things I regret. So I have less.
Just a couple?
Dude, all right, if I went on, I'm talking in Pie World.
Oh, wait, okay.
When I see you in Orlando, we'll have a beer and I'll tell you the rest.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
It was Cool Hand Luke.
Was it Cool Hand Luke? Oh, maybe it's Cool Hand Luke. Yeah, all right.
So, Paul Newman.
Yeah, mm-hmm, right. Okay. So what I was running for a while was Observium. In all of my Pi devices were running SMB clients. So Observium was logging CPU, you know, load, heat, storage, and it would graph them. And it was really cool. I like that. And that was on the Orange Pi PC that Dor gave me. And so I'm not running any of that right now. So I don't have any long-term charting on these things because if with the heat issue on my Odroid runs cool unless I start playing video, and then on Plex, and then boom, the thing spikes, and it spikes so dramatically, I actually go and check to make sure that the fan is spinning. And you know, we're talking 4 inches away, I've got a 100-millimeter fan running on it also. So there's, you know, there's cooling going on, and it just ain't adding up to much.
Gotcha.
So I'm a little surprised because the Odroid XU4 has a massive heat sink, has a big fan on it, and I guess it just has near no thermal mass that the temperature spikes up so fast. Either that or there's something defective about it. And I actually ran a video showing the video playing, you know, I did a screen capture of the video playing, the temperature, and HTOP showing the load and how fast the temperature spiked. And I sent it to Ameridroid. They got back to me and I wasn't real happy with their answer, but I'm still going to chalk it up to maybe a little bit of tuning will get me better. But
Sorry, go ahead.
So a couple of things. So I kind of dropped the Orange Pies like they're hot because I did get the up board or the up squared board. So did we talk about that last week? I think I
we did for a second, but I want to stick with the heat sink thing real quick. Brian, what's your feeling about heat sinks?
I've never used them. So I haven't come across to where I'm overheating a board. Granted, the orange pies are relatively new for me. So, and I'm not doing much of anything with them other than using them as a remote storage, personal storage devices. The Raspberry Pis that I use for Cody streaming video, never had a need for one. But I would say this. So I know we've spoken about the orange pies before in the past with them overheating. So now that I know that, and I'm a, and if I plan to do something with an orange pie that requires intensive process of work, then yeah, it would behoove me not to get some heat sinks and be prepared for that instead of not doing it and then having to purchase another one, you know?
Did I send you heat sinks with them?
No, no, which is fine. I mean, either way, I can't foresee that I'm going to be using them that hard to require heat sink.
Yeah, and that's my general thought. The answer ultimately is it depends,
right?
Which I hate giving that answer because then it, you know, because it follows a diatribe. But depends on your use case and your settings. Rich hit that point firmly. Depends where you have it. Like I'm going to have one running in the garage all time, watching my 3D printer. The garage is not insulated anything like the rest of the house, so I expect it to see harder temperature shifts. So I'm almost tempted to put a heat sink on it just for the summertime. In my house, the only thing I ever put a heat sink on was my Nano Pi Neo, which is essentially an Orange Pi Zero. Same, it looks virtually identical. Yeah. And that's because that thing went ballistic hot. On all my other mini PCs, I basically never put a heat sink. And now when it comes down to use case, you mentioned streaming Kodi or you know, using your Raspberry Pi thing. When you use a mini computer as a receiving end for streaming video, I've never seen a heat issue ever. If you use your mini computer to push that stream across your network, then I've seen heat issues. So video onto itself will not make your device hot, but if you're pushing the video out, I've seen it definitely heat up. For almost all emulation of games, I have never seen a heat issue, even on the lower end cheaper devices. And I think it's just because the emulators do everything in RAM. So if anything's going to overheat, it's going to be the RAM. But and I don't really see that happening. I too want to set monitoring in place, Rich, but there's that line you don't want to cross where the monitoring tool you have is affecting the hardware that you're monitoring. Right. And that to me is the hardest thing to do with these mini computers. When you're running data centers, putting a piece of monitoring software on a, you know, Xeon processor with 128 gigs of RAM isn't going to do any damn thing. Right. But on a little mini computer with 256 meg of RAM that doesn't get, you know, good, great, fantastic network speeds, it could cause an issue. So I'm honestly thinking about, Rich, is literally running just a little cron task.
You could do that, yeah.
Every whatever couple minutes and just spitting out the temperature and like a quick like ping test, just speed response, and just dumping that to a text file and then having a server go to the different shares every X time, you know, like another cron task, and just pulling the files in just so I have them in my library. And then I can just import them into something and view them. But it's never going to be something as pretty as Observium or any other network monitoring tool. I firmly believe don't buy a heat sink, especially if you have an Amazon Prime account, because after the fact, at any time, you can go on, spend $4 and get a heat sink. Now, I'll also state not all heat sinks are created equal. To me, the number one differentiator in heat sinks is how does it connect to your board? I've seen more than a couple heat sinks out there that the sticky side on the back where it pushes on the processor, I believe is honestly too thick to transmit the heat quick enough to the actual metal. Mm-hmm. So what I say is look at reviews, see what other people are saying. Don't just go for the cheapest one because it literally might not help whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And if you buy, here's one of the things I honestly like. You buy something like an Odroid, you buy something like an Odroid C2, I mean, or you buy something like an Odroid XU4, or an upboard, you don't have to worry about buying a heatsink because it's already on the system. It's conditioned, it's trained, it's primed to have that heatsink there, which I honestly believe those heatsinks can help, partially because they're gigantic. You know, I mean, it's literally like almost covering the board. Right. So with those, honestly, my C2, I tried to pound that damn thing, and it never really got above, I want to say, like 88. And I was really happy with that. That's why that's right now still the family computer upstairs, watching their home theater PC stuff, watching their Plex, watching their Kodi, watching their YouTube stuff. And it's just been like butter.
So you haven't had the need to upgrade to the, what is it, the XU4?
No. And I'm for now pretty convinced what I'm going to do is I'm going to load a general Debian-based distribution on the X4U, and I'm going to install Node-RED.
I said that backwards.
I always say X4U, always. And it's because I truly believe Node-RED is the kind of tool that can take my 3D printer I'm getting. I can do home automation stuff with it. I can do house camera monitoring with it, and it can do a lot of crazy good stuff. And really quick, back to the heatsink. One of the most intensive things I've found you can do with a mini computer is hook up a webcam to it and try to stream 24-hour video. That will tax virtually any of these mini computers, because apparently getting that digital signal in from those webcams and transcoding it into digital and sending it out is a lot of work. And because I've had plenty of people tell me, why don't I just take my old Android phone, turn it into an IP camera? Well, you can, but the problem becomes those cameras are not designed to be on for more than a couple minutes. So expect that thing to get very hot, and especially if you have it in a non-climate controlled area, expect that phone to be dead in maybe a couple weeks.
I've actually done that with the Android phones, and hey, we're going away to Orlando for a week. And I set up some Android phones around the house. Well, the one in the garage, you know, just went thermal overload immediately. The ones in the house did okay, you know, because I set the AC to like 80 or 85, something like that.
And they stay on?
Yeah.
Rich, yeah, they stay on the entire time?
Yes. Oh. Yep.
Very cool, very cool. You want to give us an update about the up squared, Rich?
Yeah.
Well, the real first question I have is, did you have any luck with what I kept calling DVI, but it's DisplayPort? That's not a good look on your face.
Yeah, anyway, I sliced it, diced it, I did not have any luck with the DisplayPort. And I'm kind of bummed because the reason I got the up squared was because it had two, which I thought were HDMI ports. Now, what is the Linux command? It's ARANDER.
I use ARNR.
Yeah, so ARANDR. Even with ARANDR, I couldn't manually set the values and get the port to work. There was nothing in the BIOS. Even, you know, I tried another cable that went DisplayPort to DVI, and I had another cable that went, like, DisplayPort to HDMI. And it didn't work. And I think what it is it's looking for bidirectional communication. And unless there's some software way to bypass the bidirectional communication, I don't know if I need to get a DisplayPort monitor, which isn't going to happen. I'm not just going to shell out money for that. I searched through Amazon, and I couldn't find a cable. They all explicitly said, you know, not bidirectional. There was always the text. When you had a DisplayPort cable, you know, DisplayPort 2 fill in the blank, and it would say not bidirectional. Oh, I know what it was. I plugged in, I had an HDMI to DVI cable kicking around, and I plugged that into the upboard just to test it, and I got no signal out of the monitor on that. But when I plugged the HDMI cable into an HDMI port, it works. So it looks like the upboard is definitely looking for a response back from the display, and if it doesn't get it, it's just not happy.
Gotcha. Really quick, looking at the up community, the upboard squared Windows, it has a Windows 10 driver on their website. 224 megs was updated 6/6 yesterday. So if you install Windows on it, this might be maybe the trick. Because I will say, this reminds me of back in the day, loading a Windows OS and then spending, you know, 45 minutes getting the WAN driver, the NIC driver, the correct video driver, and
yeah,
the chipset driver.
Thanks for saying that, because there's a couple more issues.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So, and not bad. So, I guess it's, you know, buyer beware. And not to say that in a negative way. I didn't get the add-on stuff. So there's all sorts of different levels of what you can pay for. Well, you could have got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on the board or on a daughter board or something like that. I bought a dongle that did Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Well, I had to, you know, compile the drivers for that. And so, you know, I found a web page, downloaded from the GitHub, you know, did the make install, blah. And the actual page was wrong on a couple of things because, you know, it's an RTL 802 whatever. And it says, you know, do LS mod for 802, but it was really LS mod RTL 802. And after I put the files in the object files in the right directories and used the correct command, it worked. So
did you let them know?
No, because you know what? This is a Debian OS problem. This really isn't an upboard problem.
I gotcha.
And so, like I'm saying, if you really want hassle-free Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on your upboard, buy it. If you're going to be the cheap guy like me, which I don't think I have the Bluetooth working. You know, I have the Wi-Fi working. You know, it's 802.11ac. So that's cool. It's working. I'm happy. It took a little bit of noodling around. And just like I do with all of these things now, is on my Google Drive, I have a conf directory and subdirectories within it for each product that I have. And I have how I set it up, what resources I use to set it up. I'll do a history and get, you know, the keystroke sequence that I used to set it up and, you know, organize it. Because next time around, you know, you hit like, oh, you know, I neutered it. I got to redo everything. And whoops, you know, how did I do it last time? And once something's working, I don't know. I forgot whether it was The Simpsons or, you know, it's like there's kind of like how they taught you in math class. Don't memorize the formula. Memorize how to derive the formula. And if you memorize how to derive the formula, it makes a lot more sense to you. You know, you understand it, and you're not going to forget the formula then. So, same thing. I know where to find the information. I use, you know, different types of bookmarking tools. And, you know, along with the conf directory on my Google Drive, I have all of that information stored. So once something's up and running, it's out of my mind. I have no recollection of it. You know, if I'm not currently working that task, I am not dedicating any memory space. It's like, oh, I did do that before. Or, you know, like you said earlier, YouTube TV. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember there was a YouTube TV. Oh, let me look at that. So, do I have mad love for the upboard square? Yeah, maybe one step back from mad love. I'm definitely liking it, definitely enjoying it, definitely happy I got it, definitely, you know, put it in the get it and be happy category. What would change my mind if I got that DisplayPort working? And I'm like, hey, you know, if I go to the BIOS, all the DisplayPort should work. And it's like, no. If I load some bootable Windows 10, it should work. No. And again, if I did load that driver, and the Windows 10 version I loaded was, you know, really neutered. It didn't allow you to do a whole lot with it. So
was it from them?
No, it wasn't from them. I didn't know if they had a Windows 10. I found a bootable Windows 10 out there. And
yeah, they have. Oh, it's just a driver. So basically, they expect generic Windows 10 to be installed on the board and then use this driver add-on. The one thing I don't like is they don't have their own version of Ubuntu or Linux.
Yeah,
they link to releases.ubuntu.com.
Really? I thought they link from them.
On their website, when I go to Upboard Community, downloads, and then I go to Up Squared, and then I go to Linux, and it says you can download the image from the official website releases.ubuntu.com 1604.0.2 desktop AMD 64 ISO.
Oh.
Which I don't like, because it's not difficult to take that, host it yourself, dial up the desktop custom background, right, for God's right. sake.
Yeah.
And then you would make at least some people just happy with that. But then if there is extra drivers needed or special configurations needed for things like, you know, the DisplayPort, it would be done.
Right.
I mean, not sounding dumb, I posted for a year Podbuntu,
mm-hmm.
where I customized it, I configured it, and I put it up for people to download. It wasn't rocket science.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I'll say that's one thing I don't like, that they don't take the effort to do that. I mean, even just ask the community people, customize it and ship us your ISO, and we'll take a look
mm-hmm.
at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's kind of a smart way to go. So. Yeah, I really like them. Now, the other thing I did, I kind of cheaped out. They want you to have like a 6 amp, 5 volt power supply. I just pulled the power supply out of my original upboard, and I've been using that. So my original upboard that Door daily drives every day is just kind of laying on my desk here, which I kind of feel sad about.
So is there any chance this DisplayPort could be a power issue? And the reason I'm asking is because I seriously don't know.
Good question. Thank you. Good idea. I'm not sure. You know, it could be. But
I don't know.
Worth a check.
I mean, I don't know. So I mean, it's definitely cheaper to buy a new power adapter than a, you know, $200 monitor to see if that's the issue.
Yeah, I bookmarked a couple on Amazon, you know, like sub $15. And the only thing is shipping a brick from, you know, the Netherlands is a little more costly, even though the purchase price was less, but shipping the brick would cost more.
Gotcha. Did you guys have a chance to take a look at any of the...
I got one more thing.
Okay. Yeah.
So we talked a little pre-show, and my wife gave me the authorization to cut the cord. And
Oh, yeah.
So I'm with Comcast, and I'll spare the gory details, and I'll just get to the point. We don't watch TV. And we use the internet. We watch YouTube, Netflix, Amazon. We do not watch TV. And when things go boom in the world, we will turn on a live news channel. Other than that, we do not watch TV. And, you know, my wife is binging on Orange is the New Black. The only live TV, and quite often I don't get to watch it live, is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, I can get that anywhere. I hate to be rude about it, but yeah, I can find it somewhere. Right. And so they, with tax, whatever, the total nut for me not to watch TV is $143.50. So that's cable and internet. And they, the single play that they sell to somebody that's not a preferred valued customer for the last 10 years, somebody that Joe walks off the street, you can get the same, I think they bill it as 75 megabit, but I'm getting near 90 megabit for $49.99. Like, just...
Damn.
So they're selling that to a new person, you know, the introductory rate of $49.95 internet only. And I asked for that. They said that would be $89.95. I'm like, oh. They said, well, if you get the double play for a year is $69.50 plus tax and fees and whatever. So that's not the gross cost, that's the net cost. So I ended up going with that, and so I'm dropping the price, and which leads me into the mini PC issue. So I think I've got about 6 Pi Zeros kicking around, which is still amazing to me, because I forgot how many Pi Zeros I handed out at OLF last year, but it was a stink load.
Yeah, easy 10.
And I'm hoping that folks enjoyed them and did something fun with them. So I broke out the Pi Zero, and I found a distro that basically it's got Kodi on it, and I'm loading some plugins so I can watch some stuff. And my goal is to, you know, get a bunch of TV channels on it or media on it that's usable for the family.
Right. Do you remember, was it Libra Elect maybe?
No, it's OSMC. And I'm wondering if I made a bad move with that.
Oh, why is that?
I had troubles with one plugin, and I do have SSH turned on, but I can't figure out what the credentials are. I thought I'd set them, but what I'd set was the web interface, not SSH.
Ah, gotcha.
And I'm going to circle back to one thing that I just thought about. Yeah, my 3D printer is printing a vase mount right now as I look. So in one screen, I see Dor and Brian, and next to it is my 3D printer printing away. I have I was going to say Raspberry Banana, Raspberry Pi 3 in a case with a webcam, so it's live streaming 24/7 in my garage, and my garage can get pretty warm. And I'm just thinking maybe I need either active cooling or a heatsink on that. And I was just going to SSH into it to check the temperature.
Right. Well, I'll say really quick, to have a Kodi and not have a plug-in problem is not common. I almost always have at least an issue with one plugin. And my problem is I typically don't install a plugin. I install something that installs 20 plugins. Mm-hmm. And then there's always one or two plugins where I have an issue with. The one thing I do remember on one of the Kodis, when I enabled SSH, it wasn't SSH. It was called SSH Web, I believe.
Oh.
Where in my browser, I would hit a certain port on that distro from a different computer, IP, colon port, and it would open up an SSH terminal in my web browser.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So I would just say, read the example or the documentation with that plugin, because that's what it might be. I believe it was called either SSH Web or Web SSH.
I don't know why I'm cheating on DiaPi. I'm looking up right now. Does DiaPi have a Kodi checkbox?
I can't picture it not.
It does. Yeah, it does.
I mean, that's like saying, is water wet?
Yeah, yeah. I'm cheating on DiaPi. I'm cheating with a new distro.
It's all right. You know what I was thinking? You were talking about climate control. Yeah, this is before this conversation.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm talking over you, and I'm just going to be rude, so go with it. Why did I go away from DiaPi? I just Googled, DiaPi Kodi. Yeah, there's Kodi.
Yeah, and I'm going to put the link in the notes directly to DiaPi.com, their forum entry, where it shows the screenshot mm-hmm. and tells you the default stuff included in the DiaPi Kodi installation.
Yep. Yeah, I think I'm just going to go for that.
Dear.
Well,
you're rude to me.
Well, I'll say this. The more experience I have, the more I understand why we actually have this infatuation for DiaPi. Yes, the ease of installation of the unbelievable number of software is an extreme nicety, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is because it's based off of Armbian, a completely different product that does an extreme job on maximizing optimal performance for each individual chipset. I have never had a cleaner, quicker, snappier, better-looking desktop on any mini computer than when I found compatible versions of Armbian for that mm-hmm. hardware.
Yep.
Everything just ran quicker. I also had a lot less, I don't know what I would call them, artifacts happening, where sometimes you move a window or do something, and it takes a second because it's a mini computer, but during that half a second, you get a screen flicker and a random box pop up out of nowhere, and then it disappears and it looks right. With Armbian, I've never had that issue.
I know what you're talking about.
So if you want, my logic is, if you want to learn how to install Kodi from scratch, if you want to learn how to do a mail server, if you want to learn the finer points of creating Samba shares, load Armbian and then find things telling you step-by-step how to do it and learn on your own. But if you just want something up and running and you don't care about learning, then it's really difficult to even compete.
Okay,
I'm
doing the RTFM part, and under the pretty image, it says what you'll need: Raspberry Pi 2, Odroid C1, 2 gigs of 2 gigs or greater on the SD card, USB hard drive, USB memory. And I'm like, that's why I went with. I might go check out OpenELEC, or would you say the other one was it LibreELEC?
Yeah, LibreELEC. Elect is, I believe, just a modified version of OpenELEC.
LibreELEC.tv.
That seemed to work relatively straightforward with Kodi.
What I don't like is that when I go to the DiaPi, they just have Raspberry Pi all models lumped into mm-hmm. one
yes.
group. To me, that doesn't confirm actual zero compatibility. Not good. I'll say I'm firmly believing Kodi on Android sometimes it's giving me much better performance only because of it seems like the Wi-Fi driver in Android seems to be better. On the same hardware, I load Linux. I go to speedtest-cli to do the command line speed test, which should give me the highest possible numbers. And then I load Android and load up a GUI one, which should get less performance. I'm sometimes seeing 3 to 4 greater time speed in Android. Now, it depends on the chipset. It depends on the wireless you're using and all that. I will say, when you have to buy a Wi-Fi dongle, adapter, USB thing for your device, compatibility is key. The one I buy right now is only $7.99, and I think I'm getting fantastic performance for it being less than $10. And I'll make sure there's a link in the notes to the one that I buy. Okay, now I believe I'm ready to say, did you guys get a chance to look at this spreadsheet, or was there anything that you guys tagged this week in our system that you just have to talk about?
There was one thing I wanted to mention. This is kind of piggybacking off the conversation that we're having with climate control, and this is before this conversation took place. I was thinking, wouldn't it be kind of neat in the cool factor, but not really necessary, to have a climate-controlled container for your mini PC, if like you wanted to put yours mini PC out in the garage. In New England, temperatures are all over the place. So something like that, it would be down to 0 degrees or below at sometimes, and during the summertime it would be around 90 to 100 degrees. And for you, Rich, I'm sure it gets relatively a lot warmer than it does colder. So I don't know if it would be cool.
We drop
to ask
below
like
freezing.
That.
You know, once every couple of years we might go to like 30 degrees Fahrenheit. But at that point, the National Guard's out with helicopters and jet engines and stuff like that and heating stations. So that's now like the joke in quote unquote South Florida here, which I don't quite consider this South Florida. It's kind of mid South Florida, but they call it South Florida, Palm Beach County. The joke is all summer long, the forecast is, and this is highly accurate, and I'm not saying that facetiously, it'll be mid 80s and afternoon thunderstorm. And all of the weather forecasters might as well just retire for the summer because that is the forecast.
Yeah. So every time I've been in Disney, somewhere between 11 and 3, it rains.
Yeah.
And it literally rains for maybe 10 minutes.
Well, see, your Orlando, where Disney is a little more north and it's a little more inland. So as you get away from the coast, you will have higher temperature swings.
Gotcha. And really quick, the name of the USB dongle I get is Anewish, A-N-E-W-I-S-H, Wi-Fi mini wireless USB dongle network A adapter, 150 megabits for MAG 250, 254, 255, IPTV set-top box, PC desktop Windows 10, 8, 7 XP. My goodness, that's a horrible name. But it works, and it works damn good is what I'm going to say. It has a little red light on it. It's not glaring, but it does confirm whether or not it's turned on or not. I will say once every couple weeks or so, I have to walk up to my Odroid C2, pull it out, put it back in, and then everything starts to work again. But it's very rare that I have to do that.
For a whole big day of $8.
Yeah, right now, $7.99 with Prime.
That's not $8.
Well, yes, it is. Because, pennies are worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my go-to. And once I found this one work on multiple distributions, whether it was Bananian, whether it was even Fedora on a mini PC, whether it was OpenSUSE on a mini PC, I immediately bought like 4 of these.
Wow.
Just so I made sure that I had them handy dandy, ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the notes again and say, is there anything there you guys wanted to check out? There was one that caught my eye.
Was it MotionEye?
Yes, exactly. I firmly believe one of the best possible use cases for these mini computers, because they're mini computers, okay, you can have self-contained backup power, auxiliary power. Most of these boards, either have the little, I can't remember what the actual plug socket's called, but it's a little plug socket you just plug in, and that is alternate power or backup power. And the boards that go with that, you can typically get on Adafruit and those kind of sites for literally like $2 or $3. And the batteries you can get a 1,000 milliamp battery typically for less than $10-$12. And that's hours worth of backup. Okay. So that's what I really like about these mini computers. Then you just have to hook a camera up to it. And then you have basically a IP camera, or you can install a real OS on it and do its own server with an IP camera connected to it. And this MotionEye, I've seen a lot of these in the past. This one actually seemed custom made for these IP camera use cases and not for true surveillance enterprise monitoring type solution, really more for like the end user to do. I did see, I believe it was a YouTube video on it, and I can't seem to find that now. Worked really good, had a little bit of nicety features in it, very easy to set up with a setup.py script. So it's just a Python thing. So that's one of the first things I'm going to try to do, because everybody who has a 3D printer ends up using Octoprint and ends up connecting a camera to it. But I want a secondary camera basically in the corner of my garage, pointing down, looking at the whole environment.
So you can see whether it's cooking off.
So I can see if there's smoke coming out of that thing. Yeah. And that's the other thing you were talking about, climate control, Brian. My other goal is to literally connect temperature sensors around the device so I have extra awareness of what's going on. Good, Rich.
So, you could look up the DS128, Dell Semiconductor 128, and you can find them all over Amazon, and they'll sell you a number of them for less than $2 a piece.
They are?
They're Dallas Semiconductor One Wire networking, and you can string them all together, and it's a serial network, and they each have a unique ID, and you can have I think 128 devices on one serial wire, and they'll all report back independently their temperature. And there's libraries for the PIs for the Dallas Semi One Wire network. Now, I haven't done all of this. I've just read about it. But I'm going back to there was the quote-unquote teeny board, and this is maybe 10. Yeah, it's more than 10 years ago now, maybe 15 years ago. Teeny board ran Java object code, and it was like a SIM memory card size, memory stick size, and it would go on a carrier board. Then the carrier board had like a DB9 and an Ethernet port on it, and I think probably a 10 megabit port. And
that was a DS.
DS128.
What now? 128. Okay, I'm gonna try to find a link.
Amazon,
make sure it's in the notes.
You can find a stinkload of them.
Yeah, I found DS128.
A couple of things I want to know the temperature of. Whoa, I'm not finding. Yeah, I'm finding other stuff. Let me take the space out between the DS and 128. Yeah, I'm not finding. Hold on. That's weird. I know I searched for it. Okay, so I'm finding something. Dallas Semiconductor, it's an 18B20, but that's a single device, and it's 980. I know. Okay, so here's 10 pieces for $15. DS1820. I'm sorry. Yeah, DS18B20. So I'll get you that link. And that's free shipping for eligible orders. So they probably have a... All right, and here's... they have a number of these items. So here's one. It's packaged for outdoor waterproof. So for me, I'd love to have one in my pool, one in my hot tub, one like just outside under the eave of the roof so I get a shaded temperature, one at the peak of my roof inside so I know what the interior temperature is, you know, just monitoring temperatures around things. And yeah, it wouldn't be like if you had an enclosure for your 3D printer, wouldn't be bad to have a number of those so you can see if it's cooking off in there.
And what do you run them off of?
It's a serial port network. And they're all uniquely identifiable. They call it a one-wire network, but really it's three wires, you know, because you got power, ground, and data.
No, which device? What device would you run?
Oh, any Pi device.
Okay.
Will they connect via the GPIO pins?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And I'm shooting off my mouth about it. I haven't done it, so I have read about it.
How do you get the GPIO pins on a Pi Zero?
Well, you got to solder.
Okay, I didn't know if there was soldering involved.
Well, you got the they have the plated through holes. So if you're just looking for one or two pins, you could just solder a wire in.
Okay.
Yeah, all the examples I've seen, you basically just take the wire you want to solder to it, put it right in the hole, and then just do a little bit of
tin
solder
the wire
on the backside. Well, yeah. And then just right in the backside, just put just a touch of a solder on it, and you're done.
And I hate to confess this, the only project I've done that used GPIO pins and was my garage door opener, and really just used power and ground.
Gotcha. Well, to be honest, that's one of the things I might actually do, because I do have a powered garage door opening device, a garage door opener. I never use it, because the only time I go in the garage is when I'm going to mow the lawn or something. So I come from inside the house, press the button, blah. If I have a 3D printer, I can see a reason as soon as I come in the door, as soon as I pull up in the driveway, hitting the button and walking right in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I might take advantage of that. And I have the button hanging right where the 3D printer would go. So it's just a matter of taking that button apart and connecting the wires.
Yeah, if you want to wire directly, you would need a solenoid for that.
Right. Was there any other things in this sheet that you guys wanted to talk about, show off?
There was one, and it was a failed, it didn't really do that well. Line item 444, lucky number 4.
Okay, that says from Geeky Gadget, S Wood Project Fanless Wooden PC. Computers and wood typically don't go together because one's flammable and one's hot. Oh, this is really pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
Looks like a cutting board.
Yeah.
It looks
it's
like
really
a
unique
Mac Mini cutting board.
I don't know if it was a Kickstarter or Indiegogo. It was Kickstarter. And it didn't do so well. But I thought the design was beautiful. Really good idea.
Oh, yeah. That's got the sexy written all over it.
But that's all it is. I mean, it's your standard mini PC. The specs aren't flashy.
Well, it's Intel,
at all.
Right? Yeah, it's Intel.
Yeah.
HD graphics, yeah. Intel quad core, up to 2.0 gigahertz.
4 gigs of RAM, 125 gig SSD.
So what was the cost on this?
Let's check out.
Let's click through the Kickstarter. Do you have any guesses, Brian? Guess?
$200.
I'd say near $300.
I was going to say, I'm going to Price is Right you and say $301. because why not?
Holy crap.
Well, it's 600, but I'm not sure if it's US dollars.
No, that's a US
dollar. 600 and
oh, wait, pesos?
Wait. 607, 617.
There's one backer. No. What we're reading is, I think somebody just, there is one back. Wait, how can that be?
Yeah, one backer, 13 days to go.
Pledged goal of $51,000. All right, and
well, you can't curse the guy for trying.
Yeah, no, it looks really nice.
Good job, thanks. All right, so I'm looking at the rewards. All right, so for a pledge, All right, so you got to give $600 to get the S Wood Mini.
Yeah.
Congratulations, be the first one on your block. You didn't say that. And for $650, you get a customized S Wood. And so one person pledged $678.
Yeah, I'll just say this guy has never went to crowdfunding cast and listened to a single episode. A very good friend of mine has a very successful podcast, I'm going to say, all about crowdfunding, interviewing people doing crowdfunding,
mm-hmm.
and offers guidance for people to do crowdfunding.
And who would that individual
be? The Admiral Jonathan T. Nado. Is that guy. Yeah, Nado. Because one of the things is, you don't set your goal to what you actually want your goal to be. Hypothetically, you need $50,000. What you do then is you set your goal to around $8,000. That's because your real goal is not to 100% your campaign. Your real goal is to tenfold whatever you have as your goal, because that's how you get front page. That's how you get on the trending. That's how you get into the hot section. Okay. Number two, you have to, okay, the old saying from a old 1989 hip hop artist said, scared money don't make none. Okay. The number two thing you have to do in a crowdfunding event is you have to pay money to somebody to make a quality video for you. They have 13 days to go, which means this has been up for more than 10 days, and there's no video on this site talking about it, exclaiming the beauty, the craftsmanship, the workmanship, the amount of work that goes into it, the type of molding this is, or CNCing or whatever, explaining how glorious this is. I guarantee you, if he would have done those couple things, he would have more than one backer. He would have more than one backer. It's a Swiss guy. Maybe this is the first thing he's ever tried. This thing is friggin' gorgeous. So he has the design down to a science. He just needs to get better at
marketing.
He needs to watch a couple episodes of Shark Tank. You know what I'm saying? Because I do believe he's on the right track. He just needs a marketer. But yeah, this thing is, I gotta say, I am not one to like the idea of a wooden computer. Unless I wear a lumberjack shirt, maybe. Okay. You know what I mean? But this thing looks damn good.
Yeah,
really.
I agree.
So I am going to match your 444 and suggest a 443. So if you haven't looked at it yet, how much would you pay for almost identical, except without the wood case, PC?
Okay, well, really quick, this is by Voyo. VOYO. They are at least a moderately successful company selling things on like Alibaba and the like. They have had some mini computers that I've came really close to buying. Yeah. Really close to buying. So I'm going to say virtually the same specs. Knowing them, I'm going to say, well, actually, no, this is actually a better processor. They have an Intel Pentium processor where the other one had a Celeron processor. For them, I'll say 268.
Whoa, door. 233.
Ooh, wow.
Just a little bit of...
That was
just
pretty close.
I'm looking at the specs on this. So 233, you got a quad core, same as my up board, you know, my up squared. Let's see. I'm seeing like USB 3.0. It looks like a mini HDMI port, not a micro, which... You know, you can get the cables for that. It's got a TF card. It's got a Cat5 connector. So gig Ethernet, micro SD, mini HDMI, USB 3.0 ports, three of them. An
Is
audio
this the
socket
V1?
That my upboard does not have. Oh, and I'm going to circle back to the upboard for a moment. I jacked in a USB sound card because I have monitors here, not TVs. So the audio along the HDMI cable doesn't go anywhere. So I got my speakers and I've got a, you know, I had kicking around a USB, and these things are ridiculous cheap. So USB sound card and just plugged in the back and it ran.
Nice.
Okay. I'll say they have two versions of this is what I'm finding of this Voyo V1 VMac Mini. Is the name that I'm finding, the official name for it. They have a version with the identical lesser Celeron processor, and then they have a different version with the Pentium processor on it. I'm trying to find just a clean
32 listing. Gigs of eMMC. This is a reasonable buy. This is a real reasonable buy.
The only thing you got to watch out for is it's from China. And sometimes with these Voyo boxes, they sell you pirated software. So the Windows software might be pirated. That's about it.
Who runs Windows?
Well, it comes with Windows. Right. Windows 10. Although it does say device ran the licensed version. So I don't know.
The Intel Celeron N3450 version is $199. And the Pentium N4200 version
is
$234.
Spend the money.
And this is at GearBest, and I can tell you right now, GearBest is one of those sites. I personally think of this as the outside of America Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole hell of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I honestly like them as a company. So yeah, right now, flash sale, $215.
The N200 only supports one memory channel. So sadly, you don't get two memory channels when you upgrade to 8 gigs of memory. That would make it a little bit faster.
My 3D printer is on sale for $159.99, 37
stop
pieces
looking.
Left, 3 days.
Stop looking, Rich. Stop looking. It's only going to bring you pain.
Yes.
I personally say the only thing I wish this box had was more RAM. I am a connoisseur of gourmet RAM kind of thing. Everything it seems like I do, I suck down RAM like going into a diabetic coma kind of thing.
Oh, crap. I just typed Voyo, and they have an endless amount of stuff.
Oh yeah. They make incredible numbers of models of hardware. 4 gig of RAM, though, I'm not going to lie, it's doable.
4 gig,
for a lot of things
model?
I do.
They do have an 8 gig
not
model.
That I can see. They
yeah,
do?
It's expandable to 8 gig, but it's only one channel. So you'll have to pull out your 4 gig to put it in an 8 gig stick.
Well, on at least GearBest, I don't see an option for it.
I see models going up to 284.
And I'll say this is the presentable, quote-unquote, mini computer. This is the mini computer you could literally stick in your backpack, take to the office, hook up to a secondary monitor, and it wouldn't look ridiculous or out of place.
But you didn't have to 3D print a case.
Nice diamond cut edges, very well polished, nice finish.
Dude, where did it say 235? Oh, there's a discount, that's it. So, all right, for 235... Let me go over the specs, gearbest.com. So Apollo Lake, 4200 quad-core, Intel HD 5500 GPU, 8 gigs O-RAM, DDR3L, ROM is... So you got a 32-gig eMMC, and 128-gig SSD. So they're really tucking a lot of power in here. This is... So compared to my upboard that I've been kind of raving about, you get a case, a power supply, which I didn't get with my upboard. I had to design and print my own case. There's a remote controller also. The two AAA batteries aren't included. If I wasn't financially constrained right now, I would jump on this in a heartbeat.
Well, I can tell you on GearBest, when I put Voyo VMAC, I'm only getting 4 matches.
149.
None of them look like they have 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah,
I think
I'll drop it in the chat.
I think they're expandable. It's not from what I now. I could be wrong.
Dropped in.
I think
the chat.
You take the case off and pull out the RAM and install additional RAM.
Are you saying?
And I got no problem.
No, it says 8 gigs of RAM. It doesn't say up to 8 gigs. It says 8 gigs of RAM.
This is the last version of it. That's why this is not the current new version. At least that's what I'm reading, because the V1 is the brand newest one.
Oh, I thought the V3 was.
Oh, I thought the V3 was the brand newest one.
Well, I don't even see a V3 on this one.
These
are all V1s.
I mean, am I wrong?
Hmm.
No, these are all V1s.
And this one, I will say, this one that we're looking at, that I got the link from, this is the N4200.
Yeah.
Which, that's the Pentium, or is that
the... That's the Pentium. That's the Apollo Lake.
Yes.
4200
is the latest.
Apollo Lake.
That's the latest chip.
Yeah, this is the deal.
So
I don't know why their search won't return.
Yeah, I don't know why either. It's because they have it listed as the Voyo VMAC mini PC, not as a V3.
Oh,
which
this
does
is
have
so cool.
8 gig.
Do you know what color it is? Tyrant gold.
Tyrant.
I will stick with the royal blue. I'm not walking around with a gold color.
Oh, man, yeah. I would get Tyrant gold just because if anybody asks, what color is that? It's Tyrant gold.
Oh. Arr. It's me gold.
Yeah,
dude,
I mean, if it's gold,
oh,
I feel like I have to put rhinestones
you're
on
killing
it.
Me. You, Dor, you buying one? You buying one?
Did
you
I can't.
Yes,
no,
can't.
I can't.
No,
I
no,
just
no.
spent $400 on a 3D printer new.
$5,000
you spent
Disney.
$400 less than you originally planned on,
well,
on a 3D printer.
$300. $300 less.
See? You can buy this.
I can't.
No, just click buy. Dor, just click buy.
Not going to do it.
You can click it.
I'm going to George Bush you, knock on the door.
Wouldn't be prudent.
It wouldn't be prudent.
It's so
at
small,
this
your wife wouldn't know where it was.
Oh, well, she doesn't know anyway. I'll tell you what I would put out money for, and that is on line 446. I discovered this maybe a couple weeks ago, and what I'm mad at is that I did not apparently book any of the other websites affiliated with this. This is a YouTube video. The author's name is Wermy, W-E-R-M-Y, and it's called Minty Pie 2.0, Another Quick Update. What this guy plans on doing is selling a kit where you take a Altoids box, you empty it out, of course. He gives you, and you have to get your own Raspberry Pi Zero, I believe it was. Yeah, Raspberry Pi Zero. And if you look, and here's one of the interesting things, right at 17 seconds of the video, he spins this board around and you see what basically is the exact same pattern as the Raspberry Pi GPIO holes. Because Brian was saying, how do you connect it? So this is a custom daughter board that you basically solder, and that's how it connects to the Raspberry Pi Zero. You solder through the GPIO holes onto this board. And then what this board allows you to do is it gives you basically a button controls. So all the buttons are baked onto the board. And it also has a video, I believe, I can't remember the right word. Not inductor. What's the word? Video thing on it to allow it to display on the screen gives you a small, I think it was like 3-inch monitor, all the physical buttons, gives you the battery resistor part to it all. It all very neatly and cleanly connects together, and you have yourself basically a retro game playing device that fits inside an Altoids tin where you literally get like 3 hours of battery on it.
That's cool.
That's this.
And I almost don't care how much he charges for this thing, because this is the kind of thing I would just love to have in my pocket, in my jacket. So anytime I think I might be getting bored, you know, standing in line, I don't know, maybe for Space Mountain or something, I can just pull it out and just start playing a game. He's going to release this all as a kit. Most of the hardware is not custom. The daughter board is custom on it. But basically he has them being printed out right now, he said, and he's going to basically sell these as a little custom kit. I think this is awesome.
Yeah.
Is all I got to say. These are the kind of projects where I really like people taking this idea, because everyone has seen some kind of mini computer inside an Altoids can of some sort.
Right.
If you go towards the end of the video, you, at least to 2:30 in the video, you see it actually in the case and everything. It looks polished. It looks like it belongs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like this guy's craftsmanship. He even has an arm. So the Altoids tin won't open up too far. Mm-hmm. He's really thought about this. He's really has it set up, I think, in a really nice way. He also gives you little template holders to accurately punch out the necessary holes in the bottom of the case for the micro USB, the on and off switch, and one other thing you had to plug up. I can't remember what it was. And you have still have access to the HDMI out. So you can technically have this in your hand, hook up the video out, plug it up to a TV, and you can play this on a big screen TV.
That's pretty cool. Now, would you put RetroPie on here?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. RetroPie just went through a big change in their interface where they allow, it's not themes, but you can think of it as themes that give a new dramatic look to where you can look at the games. Also, it like scrapes your library, gives the box art, gives the description, can also give you the background music of the game. So as you're scrolling down and you go to Street Fighter, if you pause on Street Fighter, it will start to in the background, if a network connection is available, stream the music and stream a small thumbnail image of the game footage.
Nice.
So RetroPie is getting mature. They're doing a lot of things right as far as I'm concerned. And this little device, I don't care if it's $60, $70, I'm pretty sure I'm going to throw my money at them.
That's It was very well polished for an Altoids box.
Yeah, these are the kind of, this is one example of the mini type products that I just, I don't want to say fall in love with, because that may be taking a little bit too far, but I really, I become giddy about. And the actual website is sudomod, sudomod.com. And I'm going to make sure there's a link in the notes if you want to track this and be notified when they push it out public. And of course, one of the gimmicks is, because there's different flavors of Altoids would have different colors of case, on the outside of the case. Oh, yeah. You can then, of course, also order different color boards inside. So you can open it up and have a green boards with white buttons, pink boards with black buttons, blue with red buttons. I really do like what this guy's doing. That's all I'll say. There were definitely a couple other things in the notes. Any must talk about things for you guys?
I'm going to skip out on the notes for a minute. And Dor, we've had a conversation privately. The Pine book, on their website, they're posting dates for delivery. So they don't tell you when your book, you know, or Pine book will be delivered. But what they're telling you is, so I'll read verbatim here. Pine 64 next shipment date will be on June 9th, 2017, shipped from Shenzhen, China. And it says, Pine book ordered on 20th of April onward will fall into the mid-June 2017 shipment from Hong Kong. So 20th April onward. So I'm guessing after April 20th. And then the next line says, Pine book ordered on 29th of May onward will fall into mid-July. So that sounds like on the 20th or after, we'll get it mid-June. Is that how you're reading it, Dor?
Yeah, which tells me I'm going to get it when I'm not in town.
Because looks like I'm getting a Pine book mid-June.
Nice. What time?
I'm pretty excited about that. So my use case for the Pine book was, and I've been griping for a long time, you know what I want? I want a modernized netbook that I can walk around, I can send and receive email, I can, you know, look at YouTube, Netflix, blah. And that was because I've got my MacBook Pro hooked up to all of my monitors on my desk, and I really don't want to disconnect it and carry it around. But that's really what the Upboard Squared was supposed to take over. That was supposed to be my desktop computer, but being that I don't have two video ports on it working, which may happen soon. The Pine book was just such a bargain. I'm like, gotta get it. So I'm juiced and excited.
I really want it as a device to take to work, aka it better have a good battery. And from everything I'm hearing, the battery is good on it. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. First and foremost, good battery. Then it's just an email answering machine, and getting like status updates for things. You know, nothing major. I don't intend on doing 3D designing on this device. Technically, though, I probably could.
With Tinkercad, so you can.
With Onshape, I can, because that's in the browser, too.
Oh, wow. So, no, Onshape, yeah. You got to pay for. No, this is the wrong show for that, right?
No, Onshape is free.
Onshape is free.
Yeah. If you want your things to be private, you have to pay for it. Oh. This is like the GitHub mentality. If you want your stuff to be private on GitHub, you have to pay. If you don't care and it ought to be public, it's free. I'll say another thing I found interesting, and it was just one of those interesting links, because I could see also putting this in a garage with a 3D printer. I'm bringing this up again. Last line in the notes, 455. Basically, a guy made a portable air quality monitor. I have the wrong link. If you click portable air quality monitor on the top, then you'll see pictures of it and stuff. Where this portable air quality measuring unit can record and display carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, particulate matter, temperature, and humidity. They have 3D models for it, source code for it, schematics for it, full PDF for it. This is on Hackaday.io. This is about, I would say, like 3 to 4 inches tall, 1.5, 2 inches deep, 3.5 inches wide or so, and has a little tiny LED, LCD kind of thing right on the top displaying the information. I honestly really, really like the idea of this. I like the idea of, hypothetically, we're going to go into an enclosed thing that hasn't been opened in years and we have to do some kind of manual labor or work inside there. If you really are concerned about the thing, you can bring this kind of device and set it next to you. Mm-hmm. And this is the modern day canary in the coal mine, only the bird doesn't have to die. Or I can put it in my garage with my 3D printer, and if any particulate matter or whatever gets into the air, I will be warned of it. I can be warned of it, kind of thing. These are the kind of hackaday projects I really like, people figuring out how to do, and you know, how to do right, kind of thing. And there's no way this is an expensive piece of hardware. You can see all of the different hardware products. None of them are Raspberry Pi, from what I can tell, but it does look like there's an ESP01. I believe that is a ESP8266. We have like 10 different versions of them. So the ESP01 is a version of the ESP8266. This is just really ingenuitive design and programming. I like.
Are you done with that? I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
All right. Line above it. Own Cloud X.
Yep.
What be dat?
I'll say this. I put it in there because I'm really happy that these guys are still making advancements. If you are on OwnCloud, I will say if it's possible to do in-place upgrades, there I would encourage you to do it, especially if it's public-facing.
Wait, OwnCloud? OwnCloud and NextCloud?
I personally like NextCloud, but OwnCloud, this is OwnCloud X. They've done some major improvements in this last version.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got my cloud mixed.
Yeah, this one is still making progress. They are still making news. I don't want to completely disrespect them and not talk about them when the opportunity comes out. But this is kind of like Freedom Box that we talked about on the last show, only more enterprise focused. Literally, full-blown enterprises can use this as a personal encapsulated Dropbox-like solution for them. Or you as a home user can take your Pi drive and install OwnCloud on, and you have the same kind of functionality. They do have lots of plugins. I do believe they have a couple paid plugins, but for the most part, you can do 99% of what you need to do without worrying about that. They have a tremendously good mobile client. I'm not going to say it's fantastic, but it definitely does everything I need it to do quickly and easily. I encourage you guys, take a look at OwnCloud X, take a look at the features, watch the video of it, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be impressed. Good stuff. So do you guys have anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good, Dar.
Okay. We're going to have links to how everyone can contact us. You can send us a voicemail, 7076-PODNUT. You can support us on patreon.com/podnuts, or you can go to podnuts.com, click on donate if you want to support this network. If you haven't noticed, this is an ad-free show. Cool. The easiest way to make sure this is an ad-free show is to support the network. If you want to send us emails, it's minipcshow@podnuts.com. We did have an email in here from Jesse Beach about a Odroid XU4. I don't believe it's completely resolved yet, so I'm going to start and we will come back to it on the next episode, see if it is completed by then.
Okay.
Rich, do you have any parting words?
Just flyingrich.com. And so all of my social media is aggregated there, so you can see all of the podcasts I'm on. I've got links to them, and my YouTube feed, my Google Plus feed, and my Twitter feed. So if you go to flyingrich.com, because Dor mentioned, you know, youtube.com/user/u/RichardHughes260 was kind of a pain in the butt. So there is flyingrich.com now.
Ah.
Very cool, very cool. Brian, do you have any ending words?
No. Other than send us your questions, concerns, thoughts, emails, problems. That's pretty much it. I appreciate it. Yeah. No, it's like going through the email. I would, having us talk about some of the things that everyone's doing out there. So let us hear from you.
Very cool, very cool. And with that, I want to thank everyone for their continued support. I want to thank everybody for downloading, everyone for sending feedback in. Do not forget, support those who support you. And with that, we will talk to everyone in about a week.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast and owner of MRPTechReviews.com. Take a listen to all the great shows here on the Podnuts Network. And each week I discuss my adventures in technology, hoping to be able to help all of you who listen to my show. You can listen to all the great episodes over at podnuts.com and subscribe to the RSS feed to download them directly. As always, thanks so much for listening to all of the shows here on the network, and we will see you next time.